Should people on welfare be content on welfare? Sometimes the Bible reads like it endorses a kind of complacency where your lot in life is bad and you say, oh well, God's will. I'm a D student and Jesus loves me. What is the Apostle Paul really saying? Welcome to the Voice of Prophecy. This is Lonnie Melashenko. Join us today as we search for ways to make this a better world and prepare for the world to come.
Hello, friend. This is Kenneth Richards. Lonnie and I are delighted that you've chosen to join us for our concluding time together in his 1 Corinthians series entitled, I Hope You Don't Mean Me, Brother Paul. And today's also your final opportunity to get in your request for a free copy of our book, Sex, the Myth, and the Magic. Every listening family is entitled to one, so be sure to let us hear from you today. Right now, let's turn the mic back over to our host, Lonnie Melashenko, and our Friday topic, Happy as a Slave.
Missionaries to the country of Thailand soon discover a local expression that seems to epitomize the national attitude. And of course, our writer-producer David Smith spent 13 years as a missionary kid there, and even 25 years later, he remembers this particular line. Here it is, Maipan Rai, which roughly translated means, it doesn't matter. Although in 1996, we might more appropriately say, it's cool. Which, when you're stuck on Sukhumvit Road in downtown Bangkok during rush hour traffic and your taxi hasn't budged in 45 minutes, your unair-conditioned taxi, by the way, to be able to say, hey, it's cool, is quite a demonstration of spiritual maturity. But you know, there are several places in the Bible where this particular philosophy of contentment is expressed. Trouble is all around and hardship is your lot in life, but as a Christian, you stare your troubles in the face and say, it's all right. It doesn't matter. Now, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, but before we find this expression in that chapter, come with me over a few pages to Paul's letter to the Philippians. Here's his clearest statement about serenity of mind. Listen, I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. Then he goes on, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And here's the reason, verse 13, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. In Luke 3:14, John the Baptist had the courage to give some spiritual advice to Roman soldiers, and he gave similar counsel. Don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. Hebrews 13:5, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Well, that's all very nice, and any Christian would nod his or her head. But when we return to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, which frankly has been troublesome stuff all week long here, there's about a verse and a half that really doesn't work very well here in 1996. Listen to this, verse 17. But be sure in deciding these matters, marriage issues, that you are living as God intended, marrying or not marrying in accordance with God's direction and help, and accepting whatever situation God has put you into. This is my rule for all the churches. And then down in verse 20. Usually, a person should keep on with the work he was doing when God called him. Are you a slave? Don't let that worry you. Well, stop the presses right there. If you're a slave, Paul says, and remember this was written in about 55 A.D., be content. Accept your circumstances. In the words of that recent hit song by Bobby McFerrin, don't worry, be happy. Now, friend, I'm going to confess to you that I only read half of that verse, and the rest is coming up. But if we simply adopted this philosophy as is, what would be the result? Would there still be slavery? Would people on welfare ever try to get off it? Would every poor family always stay poor through the next 10 generations? Would a kid named Bill have ever grown up out of his very plain surroundings to become president? And would another common fellow from Russell, Kansas, by the name of Dole, have the ambition to try to take Bill Clinton's job away from him? Or would the body of Christ become a community of glassy-eyed shruggers who are wrongly contented, willing to accept evil as the status quo and poverty and illiteracy as, quote, God's will for their lives? Well, let me read verse 21 again, at this time share with you the whole thing. Were you a slave when you were called to be a Christian? Don't let it trouble you. Although, if you can gain your freedom, do so. David Smith has a book in his office called Chase's 1996 Calendar of Events. And once in a while, we experience an anniversary that applies so beautifully to the passages we're studying, I truly believe God has a hand in it. Did you know that today, October 18, is Persons Day in Canada? That's right. Until 1929, women were not really persons. English common law prevailed in Canada, and the common law read explicitly like this, and I'm quoting, "Women are persons in matters of pains and penalties, but are not persons in matters of rights and privileges." Well, a number of women in Alberta were not content to not be persons. And Emily Murphy and the Famous Five finally were able to bring about a ruling by the Judicial Committee of England's Privy Council, October 18, 1929. And for the last 67 years now, women have benefited from the well-known Persons Case. And in this light, I look again at Paul's verse, and I find such beautiful wisdom here. Friend, sometimes you just plain and simple find yourself stuck. You live in a place where you're a slave. Jim Crow is the law of the land. Separate but equal is the way things are. All around you, slavery exists and the wheels for justice are turning with agonizing slowness. Or you live under communism or under apartheid. You're a Canadian female living prior to 1929 and the law says you're not a person. You're a pro-lifer living in a country where Roe versus Wade is still on the books with no end in sight. And the Apostle Paul says two things. Be content, and if you can gain your freedom, do it. If your government is corrupt, be content, but try to change it. If you're stuck in poverty, be content, but ask God to give you the drive and the creativity and the willingness to work hard and improve your financial situation. If you're just the governor of Arkansas, be content, but allow God to open the door to greater service for your country if he directs that way. The NIV text notes for this Bible passage say this, "There is nothing wrong with seeking to improve your condition, but be content at every stage." Let me remind you again how the contented people in the Bible kept their sanity in trying times. Paul said, "I'm content because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And in Hebrews, "Be content because God will never leave you or forsake you." But here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul opens up the door to some additional insight that might actually get us to like this passage after all. He explains to us an entire new mindset, a liberating attitude even for someone who might be a slave and who is destined to always be a slave. Listen, here's verse 22. "If you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior while you were a slave, the moment you did this, your spirit was set free. If you accepted Christ as a free person, you became a, quote, slave, willingly doing whatever your Lord asks you to do." Do you grasp what Paul is saying here? The important thing is spiritual freedom. Once you accept Jesus Christ, you're free. Your identity is that of a man or woman redeemed by Jesus, set free by Calvary, cut loose from the chains of sin. Oh, your body may still be chained to a post on the plantation, and there's no excuse for that. Our corrupt, greedy society may keep you in a cycle of poverty despite your most heroic efforts, and there's no excuse for that either. But inside, where it counts, where the heart is measured, friend, the moment you accept the Christian faith, you're a free man, a free woman. You have a destiny that blows away chains and the bars on a jail cell and the tyranny of a bad government because you're going to live forever in heaven. And notice that Paul says we become a slave to Jesus, which of course is not slavery at all. He paid for us. He owns us. And your millionaire boss, who maybe has rejected the offer of Calvary because he wants to be his own man, he's the one who ends up in ultimate slavery. It really is a whole new way of thinking, isn't it? A wealthy Christian was asked once how he kept this kind of Apostle Paul mentality about his money. It was easy for him to be content because his home was filled with lovely furniture and his garage was full of cars. Would he get content in the wrong kind of way and begin trusting in money instead of in God? Well, he thought for a moment and then explained to the questioner, "In my mind, I simply put a little tag on every single thing I own, and the tag says this, soon to be burned." That says it all, doesn't it? Why trust that the dollars in your pocket can keep you content? They're soon to be burned. Washington, D.C., whether it's doing good or bad, will someday be gone. Your car will rust by the side of an empty freeway one day, because earth will be depopulated and all God's people will be in a better land. So what is there really to be contented about? Yes, today is Person's Day, and you are a child of the King.
What a beautiful note to end on, Lonnie. Thank you. Friend, you are important to God and to us, and it brings us real joy to minister to you over the radio and also with the free books we share. Today's is an important volume entitled Sex, the Myth and the Magic. Several of our broadcasts earlier this week were on that topic, and we'd love to mail you a gift copy of this book absolutely free. Here's our toll-free request line, 1-800-872-0055. Again, that's 1-800-872-0055. Or you can write the Voice of Prophecy, Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. That's Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. Just ask for Sex, the Myth, and the Magic. Our Canadian address, Box 2127, Oshawa, Ontario, L1H7V4. And please remember to include the call letters of this station. Our radio scripts all this week have been written and produced by David Smith, and Armando Cordero is our studio engineer. Just a reminder that Voice of Prophecy is now up and running with our website, and we'd love to have you join us there. We're located at www.vop.com. Lonnie?
Thanks so much, Kenneth. Well, another weekend is here, and Ken and I are eager for the time of fellowship that comes when we leave the world of radio and worship together with flesh and blood Christians, our fellow believers. Why not do the same, friend, this weekend? Beginning Monday, we'll move to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Here's our title. Your necklace offends me. Take it off. Have you ever heard something like that before? Do join us. Lonnie Melashenko reminding you that it's always true. God loves you.
They were impressive kids. The youngest was headed into seventh grade, the next was a junior in high school, and the oldest a junior in college, two sisters and their brother. They were unfailingly cheerful and thoughtful of each other and their mother. They constantly had other kids with them, and their sweetness seemed contagious. They even paid attention to adults. Pastor John met them at a church camp, where they took him on a jeep ride that scared him to death, and invited him repeatedly to join them at their favorite swimming hole in the river. So when their mother asked, "Would you like some advice about raising your children?" John did, from her. "Do things with them," she said. "Play with them. Then, when they're older, they'll want to do things with you. And thank them. I always make a point of thanking them for what they do. Express appreciation." Her third point, apologize. When you've made a mistake, say so. It's the hardest thing to do, but do it anyway. Not a very complicated list, but if her kids are any proof, worth $1 million. Play with your kids, say thank you, and apologize. Not fancy and not easy, but it works. For the Voice of Prophecy and the Seventh-day Adventist Church, I'm Dan Matthews of Lifestyle Magazine.